Also Maru Pandit's disappearance day, but In searching throughout the scriptures, we can find very little in the life of Madhava Pandit, other than he is the personality who established the Radha Gopi Nath temple in Vrindavan. Madhu Pandit Pandana Hai Gopinata Pandana Hai Jaya Radha Gopinata Radha Gopinata Radha Madhu Pandit Pandana Hai Madhu Pandit Pandana Hai Jaya Radha Gopinata Radha Gopinata Radha. So we sing that in the Vaishnava songbook. So we glorify Madhu Pandit as the establisher of Radha Gopinath in Vrindavan, one of the seven principal temples of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So we'll speak a little bit about Janava Devi and also about Sita Devi, but before that, we'll chant the verse and read the purport for the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the 8th canto, 16th chapter, verses 8 and 9. This is verse number... Somebody can bring out the board a little bit closer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Api Agnyabhyas Tu Velayam Na Puta Havisha Sati Trayodigya Diya Padre Prosite Mayi Kahijit Apyagyayas Tu Velayam Nahuta Havisa Sati Trayodigya Diyam Padre Prosite Mayi Kahijit Apyagyayas Tu Velayam Nahutaha Vishashati Swayodvignya Diyambhadre Prosite Mayi Kahijit Apyayayas Tu Velayam Nahutaha Vishashati Swayodvignya Diyambhadre Prosite Mayi Kahijit Huta, offered. Havisa, by ghee. Sati, O chaste woman. Twaya, mayu. Udvigya, dia, because of some anxiety. Bhadre, O auspicious woman. Prosite, was away from home. Mahi, when I. Kahijit, sometimes. Translation. O chaste and auspicious woman, when I left home for other places, you were in so much anxiety that you did not offer oblations of ghee into the fire. So verse 8 has no purport. Verse number 9. Yat pujaya kama dugdan, yati lokan grihan nivataha, brahmano nischavai vishno, sarvadevatmano mukam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shiva Prabhupada. By worshipping the fire and the brahmanas, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets. For the fire sacrifice and the brahmanas are considered the month of Lord Vishnu. Whereas the supersoul, who is the supersoul of all the demigods? So read that again. By worshipping the fire and the brahmanas, a house... Yes, go ahead. By worshipping the fire and the brahmanas, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets. For the sacrificial fire and the brahmanas are to be considered the month of Lord Vishnu. I'm sorry. Are considered to be the mouth of Lord Vishnu. Quite difference. Who is the supersoul of all the demigods. Purport. According to the Vedic system, a fire sacrifice is held in order to offer oblations of ghee, grains, fruits, flowers, and so on, so that Lord Vishnu may eat and be satisfied. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpam phalam toyam, yome bhakti pradachchati, taraham bhakti uparitam, asnami prayatat manaha. If one offers me with love and devotion, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept. Therefore, all these items may be offered in the sacrificial fire, and Lord Vishnu will be satisfied. Similarly, Brahmana Bhojana, that is, feeding of the Brahmanas, is recommended also. For when the Brahmanas eat sumptuously remnants of food after sacrifice, this is another way that Lord Vishnu himself eats. Therefore, the Vedic principles recommend that in every festival or ceremony, one offer oblations to the fire and give sumptuous food for the Brahmanas to eat. By such activities, a householder may be elevated to the heavenly planets and similar places in the higher planetary system. End of purport. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gina Jina Sarakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Vinobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamrayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivastani Gaur Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what is happening here is that Kashyapa's inquiring from his good wife, Aditi, why she's lamenting so badly. He's asking different things. He's just sort of less guessing why she's in such a lamentable state after he has returned home. The actual fact is that Bali Maharaj became so powerful by the grace of his spiritual master, Sukaracharya, that he overran the entire heavenly planets and captured all the lands within the three worlds. And therefore, her sons, which are Indra and many other great personalities, were pushed out of their palaces and respective places. So as a mother, she's lamenting for the sake of her sons. So this is actually what's happening here. So Prabhupada explains a little bit about this instruction given by her good wife. By worshipping fire and brahmanas, these are some injunctions here for householders. Each of the ashrams has a particular type of required duty in order to progress forward on the path of devotional service. The number one principle for grihastha life is to give in charity. That is actually the foundation for grihastha ashram. And it's explained that in the grihastha ashram, that one is very closely associated with the material energy, in the sense of wife, husband, material possessions, and so many other amenities and objects of enjoyment of this material world. So the tendency is to become, develop a mentality of possessiveness. This is my wife, this is my husband, this is my home, this is my possession, I am mine. And of course we understand from Vedic scripture that I am mine principle is simply an illusion. Ultimately everything belongs to Krishna, we are servants of Krishna. But the tendency in that particular ashram is to think in terms of I am mine. So in order to gradually free one from that conception, along with the process of devotional service, the austerity is that one must give in charity. One must open one's home for having Harinam Sankirtan, inviting the devotees over in order to offer food to the Lord and to the devotees, to hear the holy name, to make one's home a temple. When the home becomes now a place for worship, it's no longer simply a place for sense enjoyment. And that is the idea, to free one from that conception that this is a place for enjoyment. and gradually to relinquish one's material possessions by giving a charity to qualified persons and performing different forms of sacrifice, gradually elevating oneself higher and higher positions. Here, Prabhupada said, simply by this process alone, one can attain to the heavenly planets. Of course, as devotees, we don't aspire for any material position, no matter what it may be. Even the highest position in this material world, as explained by Lord Brahma, is a place of misery. As explained by Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Purna Vrita Arjuna Mam Upeti Purna Jama Purna Jama Navig Masasvatam. Dukaliyam Masasvatam. It's all temporary and it's all ultimately miserable. Any place, even the planet of Lord Brahma, which is inconceivable by our calculations. Brahma lives for 311 trillion years. Prabhupada tells one story about how temporary things in this material world should not be sought out, and even by one who has a great lifespan. There's a story of Prabhupada was talking about Lo Maharsha Rishi. And this Rishi was benedicted, I believe, by the Devas and Lord Brahma, that for every hair on his body, that he would have one lifetime of Lord Brahma. Imagine. And Prabhupada said he was a very hairy sage. So when one hair would fall off, that would be a lifetime of Brahma. So his disciples, he was quite renowned. He used to live on the bank of the river, and he had no place to live. He was always outside. So his disciples were thinking, let's build him a little cottage so he can do his puja, so he can do his bhaja. So they were requesting him, Guru Maharaj, we're going to build you a little cottage so you can stay free from the elements. He said, don't bother. He said, I'm not going to be here very long, so why waste your time? So there, Prabhupada uses this example, this sage had such a long life, inconceivable by any calculation. And he had the realization that it's all temporary. Well, that is the material world. And even the longest, most lasting thing will ultimately, by the influence of time, be finished. People talk about the Rock of Gibraltar, right? The great, colossal rock in, I think it's Morocco, something like that. I don't know exactly where it is. But it's gradually, even those who study geology are saying the rock is gradually getting smaller in size, simply by the wearing of the elements. It's diminishing in its size. It's even very noticeable. Well, anything in this material world is subject to time. So here it says that even by giving in charity, offering food to the brahmanas, performing Vedic sacrifice, one can get elevation to a higher position. But the devotee doesn't aspire for any higher position. A devotee knows that every position, no matter how nice it may be by material standards, is ultimately miserable. Why? Because you have to die. And the nature of the living entity is that he's eternal. So to die is actually unnatural. To be kicked out of a place is actually unnatural. To be fraught with so many anxieties and problems is actually all foreign to the nature of the soul. These are all due to the body and the different positions we find ourselves in this material world. So ultimately, coming to the spiritual platform is actually the platform of success. So one doesn't aspire for any elevation. But it says simply by performing such sacrifice, one can get that elevation. So we can see just how powerful performing Vedic sacrifice is. But of course, devotional service can take you right back to Godhead, ultimately. And that is ultimately the goal of a devotee of the Lord. Today is a very, very important and a very auspicious day. It is the divine appearance day of the eternal consort of Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi. I'm not at all qualified to speak on such exalted personalities, but for the pleasure of the devotees and for the glorification of Srila Prabhupada's desire, we'll try to say something in relationship to these great personalities. Sita Devi, it's interesting, I was just thinking this morning, there's a women's liberation movement in the world, and women want to become liberated. So what are they doing? They're adjusting the material positions in order to find more flexibility in their movements, and they call this liberation. But here, we're speaking about two liberated women, Sita Devi and Janaka Devi. They're both beyond any material situation, so they're really the liberated personalities. Liberation means to be able to be free from suffering. That is real liberation, not simply to adjust one's suffering position from one side to the other. If you have one position and you adjust it to another's position, your suffering follows you because your suffering is part of your karma. That you can't change. If you're in this position or that position, it's all the same. And the living entity is forced to reap the results of their karmic activities. So therefore, real liberation means to get out of the material situation and not simply Can we try to recreate a better material situation? Because there's no such thing as better. That's all an illusion. That's Maya. So, Sita Devi, she was actually, she appeared. She wasn't born like an ordinary child. She appeared in the kingdom of Mithila. Her father was Janaka. She also had the name as Janaki, the illustrious daughter of King Janaka. And Janaki himself, during the marriage of Sita and Ram, explained the birth of Mother Sita. He was plowing in his field one day with a plow. And while he was plowing, he hit a very strong object with the plow and stopped the plow completely. So then he looked to see what it was, and he noticed just below the surface of the earth, there was a golden box. So he was quite surprised to find a golden box in his agricultural field. So he opened it up, and lo and behold, there was a beautiful little tiny baby girl inside this box. And she was glowing. So he took her, and he brought her into his palace, and he raised her as his own daughter. That was a divine, because she came from the earth, Prabhupada said. Sita means one who comes from the earth. So, of course, the beginning of the relationship between Sita and Ram was when Ram had been traveling throughout the kingdom with Vishwamitra Muni. He had just defeated Marichi and Subahu, some very powerful, powerful Rakshasas, who had been causing so much disturbances to the Vedic sacrifices of the sages in the forest. And so Vishwamitra commissioned the father of Lord Ram, King Dasara, to give his two sons to help him. So reluctantly, he finally gave, and they went traveling. After that, rather than go back to the kingdom of Ayodhya and to deliver Ram back, he said, come, let's go to the kingdom of Mithila. There's one great king who has made an offer to his daughter's hand in marriage. He has this bow. This bow is the actual possession of Lord Shiva. Actually, it was donated by Lord Shiva. It was given by Lord Shiva to Janaka. And this bow was so powerful and so huge that no one could even pick it up with the speak of stringing or shooting the bow. Lord Shiva had used it in many of his battles against the demons. So it is explained that this bow was kept in a glass case and on a cart. And 300 men pulling the cart would be able to move the bow. That's how powerful this bow was. So, one day, Mother Sita, she was cleaning the palace in the room where the bow was. And she was there by herself cleaning. So she was, just dusting. So, just so happens, her father, Janaka, had been watching her. So she came to the area where the bow was. And she cleaning around the case. And then she decided to clean inside where the bow was. So she opened the case, she picked up the bow, and she cleaned, and she put it down. So when Janaka saw that his little daughter, she was like a teenage girl, just picked up this bow nonchalantly, like it was like a toothpick, he was shocked. And 300 men couldn't pick up the bow. So he realized that this bow was very, very special. So he set out a little competition, and that anyone who could string this bow would be the person who could have Sita's hand in marriage. So he set out this, proclamation throughout the kingdom. So kings came from everywhere, princesses, because when they heard about the qualities of Mother Sita, they were all getting quite excited. They all wanted her as their wife. Even Ravana came. Powerful demon. And each king, not only could they not string the bow, they couldn't even pick it up. And they were getting so angry. And even Ravana came, he tried to pick it up, couldn't move it. And it was amazing, because even the kings, the princesses became so angry at Janaka for making it so difficult to get the hand of Sita, that they all got together and attacked Janaka's kingdom in order to get revenge upon him. But by the grace of the Lord, he was able to repel all these attackers. He was a very powerful king in himself. So the competition went on. So Vishwamitra arrived with Lakshman and Ram. And they came. Of course, Lakshman and Ram were about 16 years old, because Ram was about 16 years of age. So they were introduced, and King Janaka welcomed them. And they glorified, actually, the servant of King Janaka. He glorified Vishwamitra in so many ways. He told the whole story of the life of Vishwamitra, how he had actually been a very powerful king himself. He gave it all up, became a Brahmin, dependencies and austerities. Now he's one of the most glorious and most powerful Brahmins in the history of Brahmins. So that went on for some time. And then he introduced the two companions. This is Ram and Lakshman. And actually Ram, he is very much desiring the hand of Mother Sita. So when Sita, she was there, she was somewhat in the back. She saw Ram, and Ram saw her. Immediately, their eternal loving relationship became awakened. And she was really praying, please Ram, string to follow. So, it is explained, and Ram went over to the bow, and he looked at it. And everybody was quite in suspense. So he just, with his left hand, he put his hand on the center of the bow. And there was many people at the palace. Sita was there, Janaka was there, many sages, many people from the kingdom were watching. And with his left hand, he picked up the bow. And he went, huh? So he had picked up the bow. And then he started to string the bow. And everybody was amazed because nobody had even got that far. And then not only did he string the bow, but then he started to pull the bow back. And as he was pulling it back, you know, when you pull it back, you know, the bow part becomes more and more bent. He pulled it so far back that it was like a circle. And he kept pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it, and pulling it. Finally, he pulled it so much the bow just cracked. And when it cracked, the sound devastated the entire universe and said that everybody in the universe, except Janaka, Sita, Vishwamitra Muni, Ram, and Lakshman, everybody fell to the ground unconscious. The sound was so devastating. It broke the bow in three pieces. Pieces landed in different parts in that area there. You go there today, you can see. They have little shrines. This is where one piece of the bow fell. And this is where another piece of the bow fell. This is where the other piece of the bow fell. Three places. And it's beautifully described in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The sound was so devastating. And it even shook the heavenly planets, the higher planets. Such a sound. And of course, Sita was very, very happy. And so was everybody else. And then ultimately, Sita was given in marriage to Lord Ram. The life of Sita is very, very exemplary for those who want to understand the importance of Grihastha life. In the sense that Sita and Ram were the ideal couple. And that the most, as explained throughout the scriptures, the quality of a successful relationship between a man and a woman in Krishna consciousness is that the man actually takes the part of becoming the spiritual master of the woman. And the woman dedicates 100% of her devotion and energy on pleasing the man. This is the success of Krishna conscious life. In today's society, Srila Prabhupada was very, very keen to bring this out, that women like to become independent. And due to the independent nature of a woman, what happens? Relationships are destroyed. Well, as soon as the woman tries to eke out her own path of happiness, separate from her relationship with her husband, it creates a somewhat disharmony within the relationship. And then there's strife, and then relationships ultimately break down. So in Vedic society, which is actually the real culture, women were 100% subservient to the demands and will of the man. And the man is expected, of course, to be Krishna conscious and to provide whatever the woman needs in all aspects of her life, in terms of material possessions and proper affection and what is called proper Krishna conscious leadership. So man has to be qualified and woman has to be 100% submissive. And we find in today's world that when these things are not there, ultimately the relationships break down. Prabhupada in Chicago in 1975 explained that to some reporters who came. And maybe some of you remember that little discussion. One lady reporter from one of the local newspapers here came, and she was challenging Srila Prabhupada on that point about, well, you know, we have to have equality. Prabhupada said, yes, you can have equality, but can you make men get pregnant? Can men become pregnant? And she was saying, well, Prabhupada, answer my question. Can men become pregnant? He said, no. He said, well, where's the equality? No, man cannot become pregnant. He said, pass a resolution which will make all men pregnant. That's Prabhupada's statement. So, ultimately, he was trying to explain that women have to bear a child, and therefore women need support. They need help. They're dependent. And if they're not dependent on the men, they're dependent on the government, or they're dependent on other situations in order to get needs and requirements in order to raise a child, to bear a child. Now, there is natural differences. But that doesn't mean that there's inequality. There's just differences. But of course, modern movements that try to artificially create some equality based on activities are just simply going against the natural grain of God's arrangement. It doesn't work. It's trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't work. So the differences are there, but these differences complement each other in a relationship. And that is, men should be qualified and women should be submissive. And the relationships work 100% when we find that combination there. So Sita Devi, she was the perfection of chastity. She was the perfection of dedication to her husband. When Ram was banished in the forest by the intrigue of Mantara and Kaikeyi, ultimately he decided to go. And Sita Devi, she said, I want to go with you. And Ram says, you cannot come to the forest. You are used to living the life of royal luxury. You have so many nice clothes. You sleep on soft beds. You have wonderful food. You're a princess. How will you live on the hard, cold ground, dark, dangerous forests, and hardly anything to eat, eating fruits and roots and berries, wearing tree bark? This will be so difficult for you. It will be impossible. You'll not be able to do it. But she said, no, I cannot live without you. Wherever you are, that is where I want to be. So she took on all these difficulties and followed her husband into the forest. And she's glorified for that chastity, for that dedication. So much so that she had to undergo so many difficulties. So many difficulties. And of course, Ram also had to undergo so many difficulties. Because in order to protect his loving wife, we understand at one point that when Ravana learned about the presence of Mother Sita and her qualifications, he arranged for one mystic yogi called Maricha to change himself into a deer in order to attract the mind of Mother Sita away, so ultimately Ravana could capture her. So the story, of course, goes that ultimately Maricha reluctantly agreed. And he, by his mystic powers, demons have mystic powers, he was able to change his form into this beautiful, beautiful deer. It was golden with silver hoofs and translucent eyes, and he had all different colors. He looked quite psychedelic. Psychedelic deer. And when Sita and Ram and Lakshman were there at Panchavati, he came in that form. And Sita said, oh, look, Ram, look at that beautiful deer. We only have one more year in the forest. Why don't you capture that deer for me? We'll take him back to our home after 1 year. So Lakshman looked at this and said, I have seen all 8,400,000 species of life, and this is not one of them. This is not a real deer. This is actually, I think this is Maricha in the form of a deer, so be careful. And she said, no, actually this deer is so wonderful, it's so beautiful. Please, Ram, capture it for me. So finally Ram agreed. So he told Lakshman to guard Sita. So the deer ran away as planned, and Ram went after. So he told Lakshman not to leave Sita for a moment because this is very dangerous for us. There's so many rakshasas, so many dangers within the forest. So she was there, and Lakshman was guarding her. And then after some time, Ram realized this deer was not a deer. So he shot an arrow, and Maricha jumped, but the arrow caught him anyway. And while he was dying, he called out, Lakshman, help, in the same voice, exactly, as Lord Ram. And when he spoke like that, and he called out like that, Sita heard it, and she said, Lakshman, your brother's in trouble, go help him. And Lakshman said, that's not, Ram doesn't need any help, that's Maricha, he's just imitating Ram's voice. She said, no, actually he's in trouble, please go help him. He said, I know that Ram is not in any trouble, and I will not leave you because he hasn't given me the instructions to guard you. Ah, all of a sudden she changed her whole mood. She said, now I know what you're all about. You simply want Ram to be killed so ultimately you can have me. Ah, so she turned on Lakshman. Lakshman was so dedicated to Sita and Ram that he never even looked beyond her ankles. He never looked her in the face. He always had a respect for her as the eternal consort of his brother. He respected her as his mother and his worshipful deity. So when he heard that, he was really insulted. And he was really devastated when she was speaking like that. So she continued. And finally he said, all right, I'll go. But I know you're not going to be here when I get back. So he left. And of course at that time, Ravana came, disguised as a sadhu, begging food. And ultimately Sita became compassionate to Ravana in the form of a sadhu. Ravana also had the power of changing his form. He was given that blessing by Lord Brahma in his when he was born, that he had this power of changing his form at will. So ultimately, after some time, of course, we know that Ravana captured Sita and took her away to Lanka, where she remained there in the Ashoka Grove for practically one full year. It wasn't until Hanuman actually came after her sometime and found her there. And she had to undergo so much suffering because Ravana wanted to enjoy her. But she would not submit to the advances of Ravana. And he had threatened her so many times. He said, ultimately, if you don't become my wife, and then I will have my servants chop you up and I'll have you for lunch. He was threatened. He said, I'll give you 1 year to submit to my advances. Now, Ravana was cursed in his early days as being Ravana. He forcibly broke the chastity of one girl, and he was cursed by that act by the girl's husband. Her name was Vedavati, and her husband was Nalakuvera, the son of Kuvera. So he cursed Ravana that if he ever forcibly takes a woman, then immediately he will die. So Ravana was thinking, I don't know about these curses, but I better not take any chances. So he was playing it cool. So he was thinking that, ultimately she has to submit to me willingly. So for 1 year he had his female Rakshasis. They were like harassing her and torturing her and calling her names and doing whatever they could to break her will, but she remained 100% faithful to Lord Rama, despite all the suffering she had to undergo. In married life, it is not always sweet. Married life is, in Kali Yuga, everything is bad, or everything is difficult. To say to create an ideal situation in Kali Yuga in anything, you have so many problems. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. So we find in Grihastha life, there's always difficulties. There's always temptations, there's always problems. But ultimately, we find that relationships actually increase in quality when two people work together to solve a problem, rather than to somehow or other find another solution outside of working together. Actually, psychologists have made some documentation that relationships are actually stronger when two people overcome difficulties as opposed to when they are having a somewhat nice time together. It's interesting that when two people stick together, as they say, through thick and thin, they develop a real strong relationship with each other based on something that is eternal and not something that is just, well, because it's difficulty, let's break it off, let's try something else. So we find that Sita, actually, her love for Ram increased, and Ram's love for her increased during this time that they were separated from each other. And Ram, it is explained that during that time, just before Ram came to find Mother Sita, just before Hanuman went, he went into one cave. This cave is still there. And in that cave, there's a deity of Ram. And Ram is chanting japa. And he's chanting on beads. There's a deity of Ram chanting on beads. And he's chanting the name of Sita on the beads with one hand. In the other hand, he's holding his heart in great lamentation and great anxiety for the loss of Mother Sita. He spent 4 months. That was the 4 months of the Chaturmasya season, because that wasn't a good time to travel. So during that time, he was in very, very deep lamentation from the separation of Mother Sita. He was chanting her name and feeling great, great separation. So both of them, their love for each other was increased even more and more during this difficult time. And their faithfulness, her faithfulness, her chastity, was so strong that even after Hanuman had devastated the entire city of Lanka, after he had found Mother Sita, he came back to her. He said, come on, jump on my back, I will take you to Ram immediately. Hanuman had the power, he could fly across the ocean. He was given all these powers at the time of his birth. He was so powerful. He could jump 800 miles with no problem. He could do anything. The only problem is that he had to be reminded that he had the powers. When he was a little boy, he had all these powers. He was given all these benedictions, but then he misused them by harassing everybody. Monkeys, they cause mischief, So the sages got together and said, Hanuman, we love you very much, but we're having some problems. So they pronounced the curse on Hanuman, that Hanuman, you have all these powers, but you only know that you have them when somebody reminds you that you have them. So he had to be reminded of his powers. So when Jambavan and all the monkeys were thinking how to get to Lanka, and they were all deciding who could go, Jambavan said, Hanuman, don't you remember? You can do it. You have the powers. Hanuman said, yes, you're right. I will go. And he went. So Hanuman had these powers. So he said to Sita, jump on my back. I will take you immediately to Ram. But she said, thank you very much. I know you are my well-wisher. But I have to keep my faithfulness to Ram. I have never been willingly touched another man, so therefore I cannot jump on your back. She said, actually, Ram will come and save me. Of course, eventually Ram came, devastated the city of Lanka, killed the demon, and ultimately took Sita back to Ayodhya. But before they went back to Ayodhya, when Mother Sita and Ram were there, actually, Ram, he said to Sita, he said, "I don't know if I can accept you back as my wife. You have been touched by Rama, therefore you are impure." Ram's mission was two: ideal king, ideal husband. He followed both. And he said to Mother Sita, "I cannot accept you back." She was so much brokenhearted, but she said, "Ram, I am pure." He said, "Then you must undergo the test of fire. Fire is the most purest element, and fire cannot burn something that is more pure than itself." So she said, "I will enter into fire and prove that my chastity, my dedication, my purity has remained intact." So she walked into the fire. All of a sudden the fire died down, and the fire god Agni himself came out carrying Mother Sita, and he said, "She is pure." She was never ultimately at all vilified, because that Sita that was captured by Ravana, see, the materialist cannot touch the spiritual energy. Mother Sita is a goddess of fortune. She's completely spiritual. She's a consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what we call a fake Sita was taken by Ravana, not the real Sita. And the real Sita came out of the fire. She was kept in the abode of the fire god, and she remained pure and chaste. So when she came out, and then ultimately it was proven that her chastity remained intact. So then Ram, Sita, Lakshman, everyone back to Ayodhya. And again, Ram ruled the kingdom. And after, I believe it was so many years he was ruling, Sita became pregnant. And during that time, Ram is the perfect ruler. He was always concerned what the citizens are thinking of me as a king. Because as a king has to be what is said beyond reproach. He cannot have any type of contamination, criticism, blemish on his character. That was Ram's mission, to show that a king must be above suspicion. If he has anything suspicious, then he must clear that up and prove his purity. Nowadays, people, not only not above suspicion, they want to be suspicious. And politics means intrigue and suspicion, right? So that's what it's all about nowadays. You know, you find out later that they had an affair with this person and that person, and they stole this or that, and so many years ago they did this or that, you know. Yeah. Not like George Washington when he cut down the cherry tree, he admitted he did it, made a mistake. But nowadays, you know, everybody has so many. And it's explained that leadership means quality, not simply ability to speak or some kind of family background or some kind of opulences. Or who you know. These are not qualities that make one a leader. Leadership means character, spiritual character, material expertise. Both have to be there. So Ram used to go walking throughout the kingdom just to meet the citizens and to hear from them, just to find out if they were happy. This is also a very important part of leadership. Leadership means to find out what the followers are thinking and how they can become happy. Not that leadership just sits in a room and does nothing and just makes some edict. No, leadership means to talk to the followers, the devotees, whoever are, and get their opinions, find out how they can be made happier in their activities. This is leadership. So, one day Ram was passing by this simple washerman's house. And once he was passing by, he heard this washerman speaking to his wife. And he was chastising her in a very, very severe way. He was saying to her, "I am not like Ram. He has accepted Sita, and she is impure. She was touched. She was away from Ram for so long. He's accepted her back." He said, "You went out last night. I don't know where you went. Who knows what you did? Therefore, I reject you." That was the Vedic culture. A woman could never be away from her husband without some accountability. So when Ram heard eyes for accepting Mother Sita back, he became concerned. So later on he called Lakshman. He said, "Lakshman, we have a problem. I'm being criticized. Therefore, Sita cannot remain. She must leave." He said, "Take her to the ashram in Valmiki Muni, and there she can live for a while and give birth. And I want you to do this service for me." Lakshman, he was shocked. He was so unhappy. He didn't want to do it. Because he knew there was nothing wrong with the relationship between Sita and Ram. But Ram, more than the ideal husband, he was the ideal king. That was his... So he eventually told Lakshman, take Sita and bring her on a trip. He didn't tell her that they were going and they weren't coming back. So he put her in the chariot, and he was driving the chariot, and she said, "Lakshman, where are we going?" And Lakshman didn't answer. His heart was really broken. And then she said, "Lakshman, what's the matter?" He didn't say anything. And then she said, "Lakshman, am I coming back?" And then he started to cry. And then she realized, he said, "I'm not coming back." She understood that Ram was actually sending her away, which he did. Ultimately, she went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. She gave birth to two beautiful children, and ultimately she left this world and entered back into the earth that is explained, and went back to the eternal kingdom to be united with Ram in the spiritual world. It's amazing to see such dedication, that Sita remained 100% fixed and dedicated to Ram throughout her entire life. And yet at the very end, Ram gave her up. When Hanuman hears this story, he cannot help but crying and crying and crying. It's so sad. And she gave everything to please Ram. But at the end, of course, Ram was on a mission. And ultimately he had eternal love for Sita. But he wanted to show the world that ultimately one who is in a leadership position must be above suspicion. So at the expense of breaking the heart of his eternal consort, Mother Sita. And you have to understand that Ram's love for Sita is not the love like people have in this material world. This is spiritual love. It's deep. It's very, very powerful. And of course, Ram was broken in heart too. But he did it in order to establish a principle, a precept in the world. That leadership must be perfect. Otherwise, don't become a leader. It's a very, very beautiful story. It shows the character of Ram, and it shows the dedication and the love of Mother Sita. And this is her glory. That through all these difficulties, through all these harassments, through all these pains and hardships, and ultimately having to leave him at the end, she remained faithful. So ultimately, Sita means purity. Sita means purity. She was pure in all her ways. So today is the wonderful appearance day of Mother Sita, divine incarnation of the goddess of fortune. She is the goddess of fortune herself. So this is a very beautiful story. Any comments, questions, anything on Mother Sita? Kanakarta Prabhu? Yes. I thought you were about to say something. Oh, the news report. You were there at that? Yes, Prabhupada was there at the airport. There was two different events. That was one of them. Yes.
You were talking about giving Sita for, I don't know, giving it up to this person, first specifically for the Lord, or because of the fact you mean that he was the sensitive Lord, that would enter into leadership when he gave
up Sita. Well, Sita, Ram is the Lord. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing the part of an ideal king. Ideal husband, ideal king. He played both parts. But when it came to when they were in conflict, he played the role of the ideal king, ultimately. But still, he didn't break the principle of the ideal husband. No, he wanted to show the world that a leader cannot be under critical. Anybody who, they have to ultimately be above suspicion. And today, you don't even get near that. Today, everybody is just like, they're doing all kinds of things that people don't know about. And they don't want people to know about. This is today's leadership. But leadership means servant. The best, now there's many, many books that are being publicized today. What it means to be a leader? A leader means to serve the interests of those you're leading. The real interests. Not just the interests of what they think that the interests are. Both material and spiritual needs must be provided by leadership, especially kingly leadership. So he was criticized. His character was being challenged. So in order to keep his character pure, he did something that was very difficult for him to do. That's why they say, you want the perfect rule, it's called Ram Raj. People speak in India, in Vedic culture, the perfect rule is Ram Raj. The ideal king throughout the history of all kings of kings was Ram. You can go through the list of all the Vedic kings. Bart Maharaj, Preeti Maharaj, even Pallad Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, some of the greatest. There were three Barts that were great kings, not just one. There were so many good kings. King Nimai, Maharaj Siddhi, King Maharaj Admira, Kadvanga. There's a list as long as, books and books of Vedic information. There are all, many of them were like exemplary kings. But we speak about the ideal king was wrong. He was the ideal amongst the ideal. All the citizens loved him. They loved him more dearly than they loved their own life. And he loved them too. And he was willing to sacrifice his own happiness just for them. He didn't have to, but he did it. A beautiful story in the Ramayana, the glories of Mother Sita. Sita, she's somewhat in the background when we speak about the Ramayana. We get somewhat absorbed in the activities of Ram and Lakshman in the fights and Hanuman. But actually, Mother Sita, she is actually the essence of the Ramayana. Her dedication, her chastity, her faithfulness, her purity, and her willing to undergo difficulties to maintain that was exemplary. And ultimately, at the end, she was banished to the forest. So out of all that, that's why Lakshman was crying, because he knew she was perfect. He knew their loving relationship was ideal. But he couldn't bear to think that Sita was leaving. He was so unhappy. But Ram did it. Ultimately, she couldn't live without Ram. She went back and she left. Right after she gave birth to the two children, she left the material world out of separation from Ram. It's a beautiful story to remind him. So wonderful. So sweet. And so full of philosophy also. I don't think we have time to speak about Mother Janava, but maybe this evening in the evening class we can take some time and speak about Mother Janava. She is also exemplary in her qualities and characteristics. She represents, Srila Prabhupada was asked a question, can women and your movement become spiritual masters? Prabhupada said yes. He said yes, he said if you have the qualifications you can become a spiritual master. And we have the history of Mother Janava. She was not only a spiritual master, but she was the spiritual master of all the spiritual masters at the time she was there. She was considered the leader of all the Vaishnavas. She was organizing the entire Sankirtan movement right after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya. She was very prominent after the time of Lord Chaitanya. And she was considered the leader of all the Vaishnavas. He was considered to be respected and revered in all sense of the term. So we have the example of Mother Janava as the ideal spiritual leader. Of course, her eternal relationship is that she was one of the two consorts of Lord Nityananda. Visuddha and Janava were two sisters. They were daughters of Sarakela, which is first Sriyadas Sarakela. He had two daughters. They were married to Lord Nityananda. And Visuddha had two children by Lord Nityananda. One was Virabhadra, who was the incarnation of Shiradakshai Vishnu, and the other one was Ganga Devi, who was the incarnation of Mother Ganga, the Ganges. Janava had no children by Nityananda, but Visuddha left the planet earlier, and she raised the two children as her very own. And ultimately, she became very prominent in preaching and teaching Vaishnava philosophy like that. She is, of course, Nityananda is Lord Balaram. Prajanjananda naye sachi sutta hoilo se Balaram hoilo nitai. That there's no difference between Balaram and Lord Nityananda, they're one and the same. So that anybody who sees the difference between Balaram and Lord Nityananda is a prasandi. He's covered by atheistic concepts. If you think Balaram and Lord Nityananda are different, then you have a problem. They're the same person. They're not different at all. They're just two different forms of the same personality. So Balaram's consorts internally are Revati and Varuni. So Varuni was Visuddha and Revati was Mother Janava. She appeared again as Mother Janava in the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. And she was the leader of all the Vaishnavas. Yes, question? She was organizing the Sankirtan movement. She was like the coordinator. There was devotees everywhere, different places. There was devotees in Vrindavan, there was devotees in Jagannath Puri, there was devotees in Navadvipa. These are the three main places that Lord Chaitanya had established his devotees. And I think other places too. So she was coordinating the Sankirtan movement of all these Vaishnavas under the, with the help of Srinivasa Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur. Yes. 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 She was not, she was no problems. It's not a matter of gender, it's a matter of qualification. If you have qualification, you can lead. It's not a, if you don't have qualifications, you can't lead, no matter who you are. You can't artificially put yourself in a position of leadership if you don't have the qualifications. And you make a fool out of yourself. But if you have the qualifications, you can lead. The thing about our movement is that we have to give a woman a chance to develop the qualifications in order to show whether they can come up to the standard of leadership. And you find it's there. There are many great women throughout the history of Gandhari, Kunti, Madri, Hemalata, you know, Gangamata, who else? Mirabai, Draupadi. It's not a matter of body, it's a matter of qualifications. We may say it may be more difficult due to the social and spiritual arrangements to come up to that standard for women. It may be more difficult, but still, it's not like it's not allowed. So, if you have the qualifications, you can lead. Krishna consciousness is a spiritual movement. It's not a material movement. We play roles. Those roles are in order to carry on social functioning, but ultimately, the real role is that we're all spirit, soul, parts and parcels of Krishna. So men should not push women into a position of ineptness. They should give women the chance to develop. And that development is spiritually. Not, we're not talking about having so many material qualities. As you develop spiritually, you become a leader. It's not that you have to have someone's PhD and ZAP or, you know, whatever else, you know, ABC or XYZ. These are not leadership qualities, you know. We don't care about these things. How much education. Leadership means 26 qualities of a devotee. These are, this is what makes a person a leader. Not, you know, material qualifications. Material qualifications can assist you in your leadership, but ultimately, unless you have spiritual qualifications, you will not last long. Okay? You like? Is that right? So you should become guru too. Everybody can become guru. Not that I'm... It's for the other guy. No, Prabhupada said, you can become to like Prahlad Maharaj. You can also be... What was he saying? He was saying, oh, we were giving classes in New Vrindavan. Two purports in a row, Prabhupada said the same thing. He said, the austerities that were performed by Dhruva Maharaj, you can also do. Two purports, not just one, it's consecutive purports. What he was saying is that, not that the same austerities that you can perform, because Dhruva Maharaj's austerities are, if you read, you see they're quite impossible. But what he was saying is that one can take up austerities and penances in devotional service and become perfect like Dhruva Maharaj. You can do that. You can also attain the same position as Dhruva Maharaj. You can attain the same position as Prahlad Maharaj. You can attain these positions if you become qualified. So we have to figure out how to become qualified. You know, nobody's limited. We limit ourselves. If you study the life of Prabhupada, you'll realize here's a person that understood no limitations. He understood that Krishna's there, and when Krishna's there, that makes the difference. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or anything? Okay. Sorry I put you to sleep today, but I'm also kind of tired. All right. So thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Mother Sita. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Mother Janaka. All glories to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Sisi ki shor ki shori ki jaya.